Hello and welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Tetvav, Chapter 16. Yesterday's perek ended off on an extremely sad note, with Shaul HaMelech unfortunately failing to complete the mission of destroying Amalek in its entirety, a mistake which cost him the Melucha, the kingship, forever. We also saw that despite this, Shmuel HaMelech never stopped caring for Shaul and davening for him, even as they parted ways forever. Today in Perek Tetzayin, we are going to watch along as Shmuel is now commanded to go and begin the search for the next king of Israel. The mission will be complex and dangerous, as Shaul HaMelech himself is still alive and still the reigning king of Israel. And we will watch this intricate dynamic play itself out for the duration of this entire sefer. Our perek picks up with Pasuk Aleph. Hashem appears to Shmuel and he asks him, Shmuel, how long are you going to mourn over Shaul when I have rejected him from reigning as the king over Israel? I know that it is extremely difficult for you, but my decision here is final. Please now go to Beit Lechem in Shevet Yehuda and anoint one of Yishai's sons as king. He will rule before me forever. Yishai was a noteworthy individual. According to Chazal, he was a leader in his own right, and he was also one of the four people who never sinned, along with Binyamin, Amram, and Kilav, the son of David and Abigail. Shmuel replies to Hashem in Pasuk Bet, and he says, how can I go on such a dangerous mission? If Shaul hears that I'm going to anoint a new king, he will become infuriated with me, and he will have me killed. So Hashem answers him, don't worry. Take a calf in your hands and tell everyone that you have come to offer a sacrifice to Hashem. And he continues in Pasuk Gimel, now invite Yishai and his sons to a special sacrificial meal. No one will suspect anything of you. And then, once you're there, I, Hashem, will tell you who you should anoint for me as the next king. Although this fear on Shmuel's part might seem out of character at first glance, the Radak suggests that Shmuel's fear at this moment was completely justified. Because even a shaliach mitzvah, someone on his way to perform a mitzvah, and is normally granted special protection for that, according to the Gemara in Pesachim, he still may not place himself in danger and rely on a miracle. Hashem therefore tells Shmuel to take an offering with him, teaching that one must act within the natural order in this world. He also adds another level here, that one may even adjust his words for the sake of shalom, for the sake of peace, rather than to unnecessarily rely on a miracle and forcibly test Hashem. Hence, Shmuel's ability to go and say that he's coming to offer a karban when really he's going to anoint the next king. Psukim Dalet through Hay. So with this plan in mind, Shmuel does precisely as Hashem commands him to do. And as he enters into the area of Beit Lechem, the elders of the city come out to greet him with deep trepidation and fear. Why is Shmuel coming to our city? Is there someone among us who has committed a terrible sin? Has there been a dead body found in our territory and we are now being held responsible? But Shmuel assuages their fears. Don't worry at all. I have come on a peaceful errand today. I have come to bring a karban to Hashem. Purify yourselves and come and join me at a special sacrificial meal. Shmuel also subtly instructed Yishai and his sons to purify themselves and invited them specifically to the special meal as well. Psukim Vav through Zion. As soon as Yishai and his sons arrive at the meal, Shmuel immediately notices Eliav, Yishai's eldest son, who is tall, strong, and kingly in appearance. And Shmuel is sure that this is the son whom Hashem had in mind to be anointed as the next king. But Hashem immediately turns to Shmuel and he tells him, Al talbid al marehu, val gova komato, ki ma'astihu, ki lo asher yir'eh ha'adam, ki ha'adam yir'eh le'inayim, v'Hashem yir'eh le'levav. Pay no attention to his appearance or his stature, for I have rejected him. For Hashem sees not as humans see. Humans can only see what is visible, but Hashem sees into the heart. It is true that on the outside, Eliav might seem to have the appearance of a king, but his internal midot are not up to par, something we'll see more in tomorrow's perek. We as mankind often think, we know everything about a person based on what we see. We trust our abilities to size up a person, sometimes in just a matter of seconds. but we're really limited in our ability to truly know and understand the depth of potential of growth, which lies deep within the recesses of a person's heart. That is something that only Hashem knows. But we can take from here to be more patient in our decisions to judge people and to trust that in all relationships and in all stories we encounter, there is always more depth than what immediately meets the eye. Rashi also points out here that Hashem purposely withheld this knowledge from Shmuel as a punishment for the time that he told Shaul, "I am the seer," in Perek Tet, when Shaul was busy looking for his father's donkeys. As we have learned together many times so far together in our Sefer, Hashem holds tzaddikim to an extremely high standard, and therefore Hashem held Shmuel accountable for not acting more humbly during that exchange. So now, Psukim Chet through Yud, Yishai now brings forth his other sons, one by one before Shmuel. First, he brings forth Avinadav, then Shammah, and onwards, making his way through each of his seven sons. But Hashem does not show his favor to any one of them. None of them are the next king. Determined to carry out his divine mission, and knowing that one of Yishai's sons has to be the next king, Shmuel continues, Yud Aleph, and he says to Yishai, "Are you sure these are all the boys you have? Is anyone missing here?" And Yishai tells him that indeed his youngest son is missing, as he is out attending to the sheep, for he is a shepherd. And so Shmuel tells Yishai to have him brought immediately, and that they will not begin eating their festive meal until he joins them. It's interesting as to why David wasn't called in for this festive meal in the first place. There are many rich midrashim here, and I highly encourage anyone interested in learning more to explore the story deeper. So Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayishlach Vayaviehu Vehu Admoni Im Yifei Einayim V'Tov Ro'i Vayomer Hashem Ko Mishachehu Ki Zehu. Listening immediately to Shmuel, they quickly send for David, and they bring him. And the Psukim tell us that he was ruddy, bright-eyed, filled with life, and very handsome. And Hashem said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." When Shmuel saw David, he could immediately tell that he was deeply good and grounded in Torah. But the Mefarshim, the Midrashim, teach us that he was a bit taken aback by his complexion. His cheeks and face were flushed with red, similar to the appearance described of the wicked Esav. And Shmuel worried that perhaps this boy would be excitable and unfit for the kingship. But according to the Midrashim, Hashem reiterated to Shmuel this very idea that he had just told him previously, that although his outward appearance may come across as fiery, as David was born with a fiery temper at first, he has nonetheless fought his nature and is in complete control of himself and his Yetzer Hara. He will fight difficult wars one day, but they will all be fought entirely l'shem Shemayim. Life is not about raw character. It's about how we hone in and uplift ourselves with those very character traits that we have been given. The Psukim continue, "Go now and anoint him, for he is surely the one who's fitting to be the next king." So Shmuel now goes to follow the command of Hashem, and Pasuk Yud Gimel, he takes a horn that had been prepared for this very moment to crown the kingship of Malchus Beis David, which will be eternal. And the special oil flowed forth almost by itself onto David's head. And from that day forward, the spirit of Hashem, which Rashi notes was a spirit of strength and confidence, rested upon David from that day forward. And Shmuel then went back to his place in Ramah. Before we continue onward with our perek, I want to just stop for a moment and appreciate something deeper here. David HaMelech's story and his greatness doesn't begin in a palace or even with him being treated as an exalted leader in his family, but rather he begins as a shepherd, out in the quiet with space to think, to feel, and to develop a deep, personal relationship with Hashem. It's that very stillness, that ability to disconnect from the noise and truly be present, that nurtures true greatness from within. Our world today is filled with constant opportunities, but also with many distractions. And without moments to pause and be present, we lose the space to hear our own inner voice and to connect deeply to Hashem. It's no coincidence that so many of our greatest leaders, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and now David, were shepherds. In the simplicity of caring for Hashem's creatures and living outdoors in the expansiveness of his beautiful world, they developed the thoughtfulness, compassion, and deep devotion that made them truly great. and also reminds us of the kinds of space we all need to create in our own lives. Now back to our perek. As the special spirit of Hashem begins to rest on David, the newly anointed king of Israel, our story now jumps back to the existing king, Shaul HaMelech, and tells us in Pasuk Yudalad that at that very same moment, the spirit of Hashem that had been resting upon Shaul until this point now left him, and that he was tormented by a ruach ra'ah, a spirit of melancholy from Hashem. Losing the ruach HaKodesh that had been upon him until now left a tremendous void in Shaul's heart. This was a true nisayon that he was now going to face moving forward, and that Hashem implanted within his heart to test him and to see what and how he would respond to this lack. We're Mirt Hashem going to watch this very closely throughout the rest of this sefer. Now to quickly unpack the remaining psukim of our parak for today, Tefav through Chaf Gimel. Shaul's closest advisors, recognizing this change of heart in their beloved king, feel extremely sad to see their leader in this type of state, and so they jump in with the hopes of helping Shaul through this troubling period. They suggest to him to find a truly skilled harp player from amongst the Bnei Israel who can come and play beautiful melodies for the king whenever this ruach ra'ah, the state of melancholy, passes over him. Music has an incredibly strong ability to uplift in a way that mere words cannot. And one of his attendants, who Rashi notes was actually Doeg Ha'adomi, an extremely challenging personality we're going to meet over the coming prakim, a well-known Torah scholar and head of the Sanhedrin, who unfortunately was lacking in true Yirah Shemayim. He suggested David, the son of Yishai, to come and play the harp for him. It's truly ironic and was perhaps intentional on his part in order to instill jealousy in Shaul HaMelech's heart. So Shaul calls to have David brought to him. Yishai sends him forth with a donkey laden with all kinds of gifts for King Shaul. And Shaul immediately takes a special liking and he makes David his special arms bearer. And our parak ends that whenever the ruach ra'ah would overcome Shaul, David would then calmly and skillfully play his harp for King Shaul, and Shaul would feel better, and the ruach ra'ah would then pass. It's truly an ironic turn of events that the very person who has been crowned the next king of Israel is the one who is now dwelling under Shaul's nose in the very palace of a melucha, a kingship that's now beginning to crack beneath the seams. With this, we conclude our learning of today's extremely rich and pivotal perek, one which will ultimately lead to the true beginning of Machos Beis David, but not without many bumps along the way, as we will continue to learn throughout the duration of the Sefer together in Mirat Hashem. Thank you so much for learning together. Today's perek is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.